name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, you have your Bibles this evening? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and jump right on into the Word of God. And I want to share some things with you from the Word of God. And I just want to, for the most part, pick it up where I left off last week concerning the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. Hallelujah. And, well, I tell you what, before I go any further, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father God, for your presence in this church, in this facility here today. Thank you, Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit here. And we rest in him. Hallelujah. We rest in him today, Father God. We follow his leadership. I pray, Father, that everyone under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear and an open heart to receive your word. Your word is a life changer. Your word is a life changer. Your word changes things when we will hear it, when we will believe it, when we act upon it in obedience and in cooperation with you, things change. And we thank you for that, Father God. Hallelujah. We thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for the honor of ministering your word, and teaching your word. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, as I was about to say, we as Christians, don't matter how long you've been saved, doesn't matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, it should be a progressive thing. You should always be making progress, all of us. We should always be making progress. We should always be maturing in the things of God. Nobody knows it all. You hear that? Amen. Nobody knows it all. I don't care how long you've been saved. You can be saved 150 years. You know, have every degree that you can get. You may know a lot, but you don't know it all. Amen. And the longer you remain on this earth, or the longer we remain on this earth, we should always be learning. Hallelujah. You can know the letter, but thank God for the Holy Spirit that can reveal and open things up to us that we never saw before. John 3:16 could be the very first verse you learned years and years and years and years ago. But I'm here to tell you right now, you still don't know everything that there is to know about that verse. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So my point is, we should all have an attitude that I'm going to mature and continue to grow in the things of God. This is the attitude that I've taken on for myself. It doesn't matter how old I get. Doesn't matter what level God takes me. Doesn't matter what position I hold or may hold in the future. I've made a decision that I will always be teachable. I'll always be teachable. Now, did you hear what I just said? I've made a decision, I will always be teachable. I didn't say gullible. Yeah, you're still with me? Because I've also made a decision that I'm going to choose my teachers wisely. Because everybody teaching is not teaching the right thing. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to be gullible, but I always remain teachable because I want to get to know him more and more and more. Didn't the Apostle Paul say that's what he was striving for? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection? He says, I just want to get to know him more, more. And this was the man that God used to write most of the New Testament, especially the letters to the churches. And yet he said, I want to get to know it. I want to know him more and more. And do any of y'all feel that way? I know I do. I just want to get to know him more and more. Listen, while I'm still in the earth, I want to get to know him more and more and more. And here's the good thing about it. There's no limitation on getting to know him. If we will seek his face, if we'll stay in his word, in obedience to his word, we are going to continually know him better. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, another thing I learned is simply this. The more mature I become in the things of God, the more usable I become to him. How many of you want to be used by God? Yeah, it should be unanimous, yeah. Amen. You know already that God loves everybody the same, doesn't he? He's not a respecter of persons. He loves us all the same. He loves us all the same, but he can't use us all the same. Amen. So that's the reason we shouldn't be jealous of how God uses someone else. We just need to strive, Lord, use me for your glory. Lord, I just want to know more about you. I want to understand your will for my life better. I want to know what brings glory and honor to you. You had a purpose in mind when you place me here in this earth. I want to be in a position to carry out that purpose for your glory. Hallelujah. And we know it don't happen overnight. But maturing is a process. It's a process. Naturally speaking, a baby don't get grown in 24 hours. It takes a while. It takes a while. God called me to preach the gospel, but guess what? I was not preaching 30 minutes after I was born. Probably hollering and screaming. Maybe. Don't remember that far back, but I remember a long ways back. My wife still don't believe me after almost 40 years of marriage. She don't believe I can remember as far back as I do. but I do. But here's the thing. I was here, but I hadn't matured to the place where God says, now it's time, son. I'm gonna send you forth. There had to be some maturing taking place, right? Now the problem now is, the problem now, not in everybody, but in many, and then we're gonna move on, that I see is too many people want to put, as they say, the cart before the horse. In other words, they want to get out there and get going with it, but they're not ready. And when you're not ready, what happens? You fall. And when you fall, guess what? Other people get hurt. Not only you get hurt, but other people get hurt. Glory be to God. Y'all still with me? This is good stuff, whether it sound like it or not. I'm here to tell you right now, no one should just rush to be a preacher or a pastor, even if that's, if you feel like that's what God's calling you to. You need to wait for your time, your season. Hallelujah. I remember personally, I was getting ready to do something, and I knew God had called me into the pastoral ministry, and this was back in the 70s. I don't know, maybe 74, 75, somewhere in there. And I knew that I was called to the pastoral ministry, so I decided I'm gonna look for me a building. Remember that? Remember that, Paul? And then I was in a service, and this prophet from England was there. And he grabbed my hands and began to prophesy. And he told me that if I do what I was planning on doing, I would fall. I would stumble and I would fall. Now, needless to say, I knew exactly what he was talking about. I knew what he was talking about. Can I tell y'all something else? It hurt my little feelings. But it was better for my feelings to get hurt than for me to go out ahead of God rather than following God. Rather than going out in God's timing rather than my own timing. I could have hurt somebody. Lord, the Lord only knows what would have happened. I don't want to know what would have happened. All I know is I wasn't ready. What? I had some more maturing to do. I needed more maturity in my life, and I needed to wait for God's timing in my life. Now, I know I talk about this stuff a good bit, but it's, do you know it's not talked about a lot? It's not talked about a lot when it needs to be talked about. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. The Son of God. Perfect man. Yet, he didn't begin his public ministry until the age of 30. Now, according to us, He should have been preaching at 10. Because he was son of God. Maybe five years of age. Maybe he should have went on out in his public ministry. Get some folk to help him out and watch out for him and that sort. But it wasn't his time until the age of 30. Y'all following me? Am I boring you? Now, if Jesus didn't begin his public ministry until the age of 30, what about us? I'm not saying that God's going to hold us until the age of 30. All I'm just saying is we need to mature. We need to seek God and walk with God. Learn. And then when that time comes, guess what? You ready to go. Well, can I get a big amen on that? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, let's go back now to the Word of God. Hallelujah. We talked about let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. Now, in Hebrews chapter 6, actually we begin in chapter 5, but I won't read in chapter 5. I won't read the verses in chapter 5. He was just talking about maturing, growing up in Christ, but chapter 6, verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the New King James Version said, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on into perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and of a resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And he goes on to say, and this we will do if God permits. So we want to deal with these elementary things, the foundation things in the Bible that we need to have underneath us if we're going to move on with God. Amen? How many of you know we all need to repent? You don't hear that too much. You hear, come to Christ, and you should come to Christ. But there's also something the Bible talks about called repentance, which simply means you change your mind about the road you're on. First of all, you realize that you need Jesus Christ in your life. Amen? Yeah, you find out that you need Jesus Christ in your life, but you also find out that you need to change your mind about some things you've been doing and the life you've been living. Amen. Do you know marriage is about to become a thing of the past? Shacking up is the going thing now. Shack a little while, and when you get tired of one another, just go ahead and separate and find you somebody else to shack up with. It doesn't matter that this is 2022. It was a sin 2,000 years ago, and it's a sin today. Clothing styles change. Automobile styles change. driving the same style automobiles they did back in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s. That's all right. That stuff changed. And we don't dress like they did back then either. That's all right. But living for God has never changed. If you're fornicating today, it's just as sinful as it was in 1920. Some folks don't know what fornicating is. That's when you're having sex outside of marriage with someone other than your spouse. And some folks accuse you of just being hard and, outdated. You know, you're just not keeping up with the times. I'm not trying to keep up with the times. I just want to make sure that I'm right in the center of what the Word of God is saying. Hallelujah. But the Word of God tells us we need to, we need to repent from dead works and go ahead on and follow God. And here's the good thing about it, even if you're addicted to something, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, He will help you. Is there anyone in here today that can testify to what I just said? If you can't, raise your hand. Isn't He faithful? Don't ever say, I'll never get over this. Don't you ever say, I can never stop doing what I'm doing. Don't you ever say, this thing is too big for me. It may be too big for you, but it's not too big for God. Hallelujah. That's the reason He's called the deliverer. Glory to God. Jesus changed lives when He was here in this earth. And He dealt with all kind of people. Adulterers, fornicators. Remember the woman that was brought to Him in the very act? He didn't tell her, woman, I'm sorry, you're too far gone. No. He told her, go and sin no more. She believed on Him, repented. Isn't it good to know you got someone to help you? Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit. I said, it's the Holy Spirit. That's the reason when you go to do something wrong, you know it's not right, all of a sudden on the inside, just on the inside of you, you say, you know you shouldn't do this, you know you shouldn't say this, and all we have to do is listen to it, obey it. It would be terrible to be born again, loving God, looking forward to heaven one day, but God can't help us out while we're in the earth. I'm so glad to be able to say that over the 36 years of this ministry, we've had people of all different lifestyles come through here, drug addicts, alcoholics, and many, many more. And it's done my heart good to see God deliver them from what they was in bondage to. Delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Once they made up their mind, I want to be delivered, I want to be free of this, and I'm making this step towards God. Amen. Let me move on. But repentance from dead works And then we talked about faith towards God. And we live by faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. And I'm not going to reteach that tonight. But I want to go on into, because time, I get up here, seem like time flies. But I want to talk to you about the third thing he mentioned here. And it's the doctrine of baptism. The doctrine of baptism. Or you can say it this way, teachings concerning baptism. Now, there are three types of baptism that I want to talk about tonight. Hopefully, I get through all three of them. If I don't, we'll revisit it again. But three types of baptism, because how many of you know we're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me say that again. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We're not under the law. We're under grace. Thank God for grace. Hallelujah. We are the, listen to this. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives on the inside of us. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. Amen? Why don't you go ahead and tell yourself, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit.
I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Because you folks are born again, right?
Yeah.
Amen. You folks watching the live stream, and by the way, I greet you. But if you're born again, you need to go ahead and tell yourself, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells on the inside of you. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about three types of baptism when it comes to the church, the New Testament church. The first one is simply this. Being baptized into the body of Christ. Being baptized into the body of Christ. Or, let me say it a little different way, being born again. Being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you still here? All right, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Sixth chapter of Romans. I'll just begin reading at verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And what's the answer to that question? Huh? No. Amen. No. Just because you're saved by grace, that's not a license to just go and live and act any old way you want to. In verse 2, he says, certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were what? As were what? As were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried, listen to this, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. Well, how can you walk in newness of life unless you have a new life? For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Somebody shout hallelujah. That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Hallelujah. And if we are born again, we don't have to be slaves to sin. Before we got saved, many of us lived any kind of way and felt like we couldn't help it in some cases. But I want you to know today, if you're born again, you are not a slave to sin. Matter of fact, I think I'll read on a little further. Listen to this. For he who has died has been freed from sin. You see that? Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Hallelujah. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. He's talking to believers here. Sometimes we have problems because of the way we look at ourselves or the way we see ourselves. When you look in the mirror and at your reflection, at the person looking back at you, and you say that person is no good, that person would never make it, that person is a loser, and you saved? Oh, no, 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 no. No. Hallelujah. I'm going to go back to verse 9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Once again, grab a hold of this. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we need to look at ourselves totally different. Therefore, try not to let sin reign. Uh-oh, took y'all too long to catch up there. Y'all should have caught that right away. Therefore, do not, doesn't say try not. It says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Why would the Bible say that if we didn't have the authority to do it? I've heard people say, well, you know, I sure know this wrong, but I just can't. I'm talking about Christian now. I just can't help it. I just got to go do it. Yes, you can help it. You just don't want to help it. Amen. I could stay on that a while, but I won't. Therefore, verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members, you see that? It doesn't say try not, does it? It says do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness. He's talking to believers now. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Why? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace, because you were baptized into Christ. In other words, you're born again. Can I get another amen there? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to the book of Colossians, the second chapter, Colossians chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. All right, look at Colossians chapter 2. I'll just pick it up at verse 10. It says, "And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Look at verse 12. "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." Hallelujah. We had a circumcision of heart. If you're born again, you have a circumcised heart. Y'all still here? All right, let's go one more reference. Y'all good with that? All righty. 1 Corinthians. And I want to read verse 11, and I'm going to read it from the New King James Bible, but after I read it from the New King James Bible, guys upstairs, I'd like for you to put verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 from the New Living Translation. But in the New King James, it says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Notice what it says there. You were washed. We were washed. And that's one of the definitions of baptism, is wash. All right, now, the New Living Translation, please. "Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Notice in the New Living Translation, they say you were cleansed. You were cleansed. That's a type of baptism. And as a matter of fact, listen to me, that's the most important baptism there is, the born again experience, being washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, being buried with him, the old man buried with him, rising again, a brand new person. I'm so glad my sins were on the cross with Jesus. And he took them to the grave. Man, that's shouting stuff right there. He took them to the grave. Hallelujah. All right, let's move on just for a few more minutes. The second baptism, and the first baptism, sometimes I refer to it as the baptism of blood, which is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second baptism I want to talk about is water baptism. Now, all these are foundational things. Amen. But folks get confused over that. Some folks believe that you can get to heaven other ways than being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, than going through Christ. I got news for you. Uh-uh. He is the only way. Hallelujah. Let's look at water baptism for a few minutes. I don't know if I'll finish it, but we'll start. Go to the Gospel of Matthew, 28th chapter. Y'all getting anything out of this? God's people need a good foundation underneath them. Matthew chapter 28. Let's look at verse 18. This is after Jesus had rose from the dead. And he came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name," we're talking about water baptism here, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." All right, let's move rather quickly here to the book of Acts. I believe it's Acts, the 8th chapter. Verse 12, it says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were what? They were baptized. They heard the gospel. They believed the gospel, and they were baptized in water." All right, while we're in Acts, let's go a little bit further over here. Just stay with me for a few minutes. Acts, the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 28, says, "Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down to Jerusalem, to Gaza. This is desert.' So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet, when the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.' So the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man?' Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the scripture, preached Jesus to him." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. Everybody say water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Now, I'm going to stop right there just for a moment. Philip preached Jesus to him, didn't he? So that means from the time Philip began to preach Jesus to him until they got to the water, something happened, didn't it? Something happened. Philip got him saved. Philip got him saved. Then Philip said, "If you believe," listen, "with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, listen to this, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Oh, what a powerful statement. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and what happened? He baptized him. By the way, notice here, he baptized him what? After he believed, after he got saved, not before. Now, I hear a lot of folks say, "Man, I went into the water, and then I came out of the water, and, well, can I help you with something? If you weren't saved when you went into the water, and if you didn't give your life to Christ and believe on the name of Jesus as the only begotten Son of God while you were standing in the water, then you went in a dry sinner and you came out a wet one." Water by itself cannot save you. Let me say that again. Water by itself cannot save any of us. Sometimes folk get that confused. Now, I believe that there's some folks that's gone into the water and got saved while they was in there, but it wasn't the water that saved them. It's their believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you'd be surprised how many people don't understand that. And there are gospel songs. "I went into the water and the water changed my life." Well, no, it didn't. Jesus changed your life if your life was changed. Well, what is baptism anyway? When the eunuch was baptized, and that's the same for any of us, Let me back up just a moment. I've got to close, but I want to say this. What happened with Jesus? He was hung on the cross, and he died, didn't he, on the cross. What happened? They buried him. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He was buried. But he rose again on the third day, didn't he? When I was baptized and truly understood what was happening to me, actually I was baptized twice. First time I was baptized, I wasn't even sure I was saved. Second time I got baptized, I knew I was saved. Glory to God, hallelujah. But when I, and any believer, when I was baptized in water, and that preacher, I was baptized by, both of us were baptized again at the same time by a Jamaican minister the second time. I was in the service and, you know, and we was involved in this Bible group. And so, I knew when I went under the water, it was my testimony that my sins is buried with Christ Jesus. And when he brought me back up, this was my testimony before all heaven before the earth, but even before hell, that I am a brand new person. Now, I was saved before I was baptized, but the baptism was my testimony to the world that I'm a changed person. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? The eunuch was baptized because he believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip didn't offer to baptize him before he believed. He baptized him after he believed. Now, I understand that people baptize in different ways, and I'm not going to get in argument with anybody on their method, but I was dumped. I went under the water, and I came up out of the water. And I can testify to anybody, I've been baptized because I'm born again. My sins are washed away, not by the water, but by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Y'all, you still here? 1st time I was baptized, I didn't understand it. Like I told you, I didn't know if I was saved or not. I really didn't. But the 2nd time, it was a glorious time. Hallelujah. You hear me? It was a glorious time because I was a changed man by the blood of Jesus. And I've heard it said this way: water baptism is an outward testimony of an inward work. You hear me? Water baptism is an outward testimony of an inward work. If you're not saved, you shouldn't get baptized in water because you hadn't changed on the inside. Get changed on the inside, then be baptized. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to quit right here. Next week, if the Lord says the same, you know, Jesus was baptized. Yes, he was. He was baptized by John the Baptist. Amen. We'll talk about that next week. Is that all right?
Amen.
Glory to God. Give God praise for his word, will you? Hallelujah. I said, give God praise for his word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the work that you've done on the inside of us.